Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Beautiful morning. And no excuses today. It's the first of the year. This is 2013. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Sunny and warm, the Northeast is buried in absolute freezing cold, snow, dark gray skies. All those people with vitamin D deficiencies are getting even more depressed. But for you in Southern California, there are no excuses. So this morning, because it's the new year, because you're living up to your New Year's resolution, you got out on the track. Yes, you did. And for my audience, we can celebrate that. For anybody, we can celebrate that. But my audience does things more intelligently because you're committed to more education. So let's go through this. This is you. You got up this morning and you understood that the carbohydrate that you ate for breakfast, the oatmeal, the toast, the croissant, isn't the best thing to do. But you forgave yourself because you've got that little sweet tooth or you've got that little temptation and it just feels like that carb is right for you. So you forgive yourself once a day. Or you don't. And if you don't, it's because you've kicked a habit and your liver can convert your fat and your protein into blood glucose, so you don't need the carb. But if you're not like that, if you were going out onto the track today to start running it off over the holidays, you packed it on, and now you're running it off, and you needed that carb, don't worry about that. If you limit your carbs to 10, 15% of your diet, even if they're junk carbs, don't beat yourself up on that basis. You'll get away with that. What you want to do with that carb, whatever that carb is just eat enough of it, but not too much, so that when you get to the track, you have enough sustainable blood glucose to get through that workout. So if you got that carb thing, just in the morning for the workout. If you're not working out, you got to use a little more willpower. But if you are, go for it if you have to. Then you started stretching. You went to the track or you went to the gym, you went to the treadmill in your house. Whatever you did, you knew you had to stimulate your metabolism with a little cardio. And who doesn't want to do that on a day like this? Even if it's walking up hills, even if it's taking a walk to the stores with a little bit more spring in your step, that's what your idea was this morning. So you did. And then somewhere along the line, as you were warming up, you knew you needed to stretch a little bit. And so you stretched and you went back to your workout. And then you got to that point in your workout, which makes it a workout, meaning you got to that point in the workout where you knew you had to accelerate your speed. You had to accelerate your intensity. And you planned it right because you had the blood sugar, right? So you didn't get the weak knees. You didn't get weak because you didn't eat right or you didn't eat enough. And as you intensified that workout, you realized, because you listened to this show, that before you intensify your workout, you've got to get your center. Welcome to 2013. Pat yourself on the back, because your friends are not doing this. If you're not educated, when you start to accelerate your workout, guys on the track in your 40s and 50s, you know you got to take those pounds off. Ladies, you're already thinking bikini season. So are the department stores thinking bikini season. Everybody's on spring and summer, even though it's freezing cold. And you're out there working out. And before you accelerate your workout, you know that you've got to get your center. Check my shows, show 13, show 32 on exercise. That's 2 hours of this information, vital as far as what it means to get your center. And we're going to get into that because the whole meaning of the show is what you hurt. how you blow out your low back, your knees, but specifically how you blow out your low back when you start that workout the wrong way. We'll get to that in a moment. So you're doing what everybody is skipping. You're stretching for alignment. Alignment. You're stretching for center. And you know what that feels like in your body. So we're not talking rhetorically. We're not all here today listening to this show, nodding your head, smiling like you understand intellectually. No, you're not doing that. You know what it is to get to that track, warm up a little bit, move the body, move the blood, start to feel a little limber, your joints are starting to work, and you know what it feels like to stretch. To stretch to the point where you shift your alignment and you feel that spring come in to your feet. Now, lots of people don't understand this, but you do. If you don't, you are infinitely, infinitely more susceptible to low back injuries. And that's what we're going to get into today. Disc herniations, the number one low back injury, the number one cause of why you go to the knife and get the surgery. Today's show is on healing disc herniations and how you should never get one. There's ways. Disc herniations are fixable. They're curable. They're treatable. They're understandable. If one contingency is met, if you understand how to feel your body, how to educate your body and sustain that into a bodily experience of what it means to heal your low back. Again, topically, what I just said is common sense. But when you watch people work with it on chiropractic tables, on massage tables, in Pilates rooms, in yoga rooms, with physical therapists, Feldenkrais practitioners, Rolfers, the whole slew of people, and you watch people actually work to center, you watch people actually try to evolve to a higher sense of bodily intelligence, it's absolute chaos. I think generally we barely even understand this. Your practitioners just do their therapy. They crack your back. They stick you with needles. They rub-a-dub your body. They tell you to lift weights. They give you some exercises. And none of this is really the fundamental driver. Okay, so you're out on that track, you ate right, you stretched right, you got your center. You're not going to get your disc herniation. We're going to explain why. Your friends don't understand that. They may blow out their back, and you're going to understand why they didn't have to. Now, if you go to the website today, and you should, let me just say a few things about the website. A lot of you just don't stream. You don't go to the website and watch the show. You listen on radio. I love radios too, but I can't teach you with pictures. So if you can, when you listen to my show, or any show really, go to the computer, go to the website, and stream the show. And pardon me if you're very familiar with this, but in all honesty, I know a lot of people aren't. If you're not familiar with this, figure out how to get in touch. I'll send my tech people over the phone to explain to you how to do it. I've got a great tech staff. I want everybody to stream the show. And the reason is, on my website, across on the homepage, under the radio literature section, are pictures of disc herniations. Pictures that I selected from the best books money can buy that are a compilation of my 20 years of education and clinical experience with this kind of thing. And I can get you to the core of what this discussion is about. So I need that tool. You have to help me with that. So if you can get to the website, please do. If you're new to the show, that's straighttalk.cc. That's 2Ts.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. And if you're looking at the pictures right now, you're looking at a man that's bent over to the side, and he's got a disc herniation. That silver thing with the bubble in it is the disc herniation. Bear with me if you're not looking at the picture. And to the right of that is another picture of how the disc lives between the body of the vertebras. So I'm going to explain that for people now that don't have the streaming. And what we're talking about is a disc. And a disc looks like an Oreo cookie. So think of the disc as an Oreo cookie. An Oreo cookie's got two dark parts, and in the middle, it's got that white gooey thing. Very simple. And those dark parts, the two chocolate parts that sandwich the white gooey thing, those are your vertebra, or your bones of the spine. You have seven cervical vertebra. So there's actually seven in your neck of the dark chocolate part of the Oreo. There's 12 thoracic, so another 12 of those dark chocolate. And then there's five in the lumbar. You have seven, five, and 12 lump vertebra. Seven cervical, 12 thoracic, and five lumbar. And in between each of those, you have discs. That's the white gooey part. The disc is like a hockey puck. And it's in between the bones of your spine or the vertebra of your spine. And the disc allows flexibility. It allows cushioning. It allows your spinal bones, your vertebra, to protect itself from compressive force, which would otherwise crush the nerves in your back. Now that disc, if you pull that disc out and you looked at it, so let's just say you took an Oreo cookie and you peeled off the top chocolate part. That's the way some of you guys eat that Oreo, right? You take out the top chocolate chunk, you lick out the white stuff, and then one by one you eat the... Yeah, that's what you do. I know it. Now, that white gooey part, that's the disc. A disc is composed of two sections. The outer section of the disc, the outer layer of the disc, it's like fish twine. It's not gooey. The covering to the disc, the coating to the disc, on the outside of that white gooey part, is called the annulus fibrosus. It's like fish twine. It's very strong. It's like cartilage. It's very flexible. It's got a high tensile strength. It's tough to cut through it. It contains the gooey part on the inside. So that white stuff in the Oreo cookie, well, it's like a disc, but not exactly, because it doesn't have the annulus. So if you put your finger on that white gooey stuff, it would spread out. Just as it's spreading out, we would wrap fish twine. Now we got it. We'd wrap fish twine right around that goo that's spreading out. That fish twine is called the annulus fibrosus. You can clearly see this on those pictures on the website. Now, what happens when that annulus fibrosus, that fish twine, breaks? When it breaks, all that gooey stuff pushes out. And it deforms the disc. The disc is no longer circular. The disc is no longer oblong. The disc is no longer homogeneous. The disc has a bulge. Okay? The disc has a herniation. Bulge and herniation we'll use as synonyms. And you can have a herniation or a bulge, which means you tore the annulus fibrosus. And that nucleus, that gooey stuff in the center, is pushing out, and it's pushing towards very pain-sensitive structures around that disc. And those pain-sensitive structures are your spinal cord, your nerve roots, the ones that go down your leg from your low back. That's why you feel it down the leg. That's why your friend feels it down the leg. That nerve root, that line, that Ronzoni spaghetti coming out of your low back down into your toes is inflamed because it's compressed way up in the low back. So that disc bulge or that disc herniation with that torn annulus fibrosus, okay, you're doing great. I can feel it, is pressing. Maybe a little 1 millimeter disc bulge, maybe a little more 2 millimeter, maybe a little more 3 millimeter. Yeah, you've seen these on CAT scans or MRIs or CTs, right? 3 millimeter disc bulge, 4 millimeter disc bulge, 6 millimeter disc bulge, 10 millimeter disc bulge. These things can get enormous, and the bigger they are, the more dangerous they are, because they're going to put more pressure on your spinal cord. They're going to put more pressure on your nerve root, and you're going to have more pain. Beautiful. You got it. Now, here's the point. What about that disc all the way on the bottom? What about the one between the fifth lumbar vertebra and the first sacral segment? What about that disc? That's the L5-S1 disc. So, that bottom Oreo cookie. One chocolate part is the fifth lumbar vertebra. The other part is the sacrum, that big bone at the base of your spine. And in between that gooey stuff is the L5-S1 disc space. Or the L4-L5, one above it, disc space. Or the L3-L4 disc space. But here's the point, guys. What about the ones on the bottom? Can you see how they're going to take a beating? Think about it. Think of all the weight from the head to the weight of the body, to you walking, to you running, to you bouncing around, to you sitting all day long, those discs on the back. Can you see how those compressive forces eventually are going to tear the annular fibers and create the disc bulge? And there it is. That's mechanistically speaking, in terms of mechanism. That is the cause or the description of what we mean by a disc herniation. Now, there's a certain point. So we're just defining some terms here. I hope you can look at these pictures. These pictures on the website are fantastic. They're from Frank Netter. Frank Netter. There's a link on the literature section associated with this show to Frank Netter. And you should get to know that. You should even get that book. It's a cheap book. Netter was the Da Vinci. He was the Michelangelo of anatomy. He changed the whole world for students in medical school. Nice guy, sits there, smokes his cigar over a country pasture setting in New Jersey for years, and he just painted. He was an MD that had a flair for art. And until Netter, it was like art from the Middle Ages. Netter truly was the Michelangelo. If you couldn't dissect, then you would look at Netter. I dissected 100 bodies in chiropractic school. I ran the dissection lab. I was absolutely in love with dissection, and nobody else was, and that's just the way it was. And so I had the keys. I ran the dissection lab, and I got for 4 years the opportunity to just take apart day by day by day everything. Just beautiful. But when you look at Netter, if you get the book, if you look at these pictures, so get to the website, Netter was a genius. In that Netter, of the millions of angles, of the millions of perspectives, three-dimensional perspectives that you could experience when you were dissecting live, Netter would pick the angles that would teach you the most. So anatomy was not just name this part. That's kindergarten anatomy. The second level of anatomy is to dissect, to know what the parts are and how to dissect them out physically. But really, it's spatial relationships that teach us what the human body is really about. And this is what Frank Netter did for the whole body. For every form of disease associated to the body, Netter has these unbelievable pictures. So check the link on the website. The name's Frank Netter. You can get his book at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's a great resource for your health. For $50-$60, the General Atlas of Human Anatomy, Frank Netter, the fourth, fifth edition. Honestly, the third edition is the best. Get the book because you need pictures. And this is the thing. Pictures teach. So this disc now, in between the vertebra, down on the bottom, is taking a beating, or it's not. The angle at which that disc gets hit with, the angle at which that disc and the low back gets hit with is critical. Angles are critical. Remember Vasily Alexeyev, the great Russian powerlifter, the guy that broke all the records? When you watch those guys do the powerlift, all they practice is form, 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 and form. And the reason is, if their form is off when they're trying to hoist up 1,000 pounds or something, they will sever their joints. They will cripple themselves. Your body mechanics into your low back, your body mechanics into your hip, your body mechanics into your knee, your body mechanics into your ankles has to be perfect when you execute a sports event, especially when it's a lot of weight. But that's what you're doing all day long. You're really sports training, in a sense, all day when you're up and down the stairs, when you bend down to pick something up, when you get out of bed in the morning, when you sit all day and then get up and get into the car, and then you drive all day, and then you get out of the car, and then you lift packages into the car. Your body is one great biomechanical experiment. So really, that disc at the bottom has to have, now I'm going to introduce another great word, the correct vectors of force, vector. The line of force from the top of your head into your low back has to come in at the right angle. But that's what it is to be body-centered. That's what it is to be body-centered, to have a physical experience of how you've been able, by stretching correctly, to shift those lines of force from your head down into your lumbar spine. So your disc is giving, or your low back is giving your brain messages, hey, I'm okay, this is fine, I can handle a 5-mile run, I can lift up 100 pounds. Now, if you don't understand that, that starts problems. We're going to break this down a little bit more. Let's keep going. All right. You're told you have a disc herniation. You have tremendous pain. You don't understand why you got it. They're telling you you might need surgery. I want to refer you to one book on this whole issue, because that's what you're going to be told. If you can't get rid with physical therapy, and let me tell you, physical therapists do not understand this. They are not trained this way. They're really, really good for post-surgical rehab. They're a blessing if you've had a surgery and you have to get over the early stages of what we call post-surgical rehab. But to prevent this stuff, to fix it, they don't really get this education. Some of them do, but they're few and far between. So what you face then at Kaiser or wherever you're going, what you face then is you walk in, you have tremendous pain down your leg or into your buttocks. If they'll even give it to you, the first thing they're going to do is give you an anti-inflammatory to see if it'll just go away. They won't even diagnose it between muscular and a disc herniation. They don't even want to know. So they're giving you Flexeril or telling you to take Advil or whatever might work to hope that it just might go away. And, you know, that's the standard of care, and I can respect that. They don't want to spend money unless they have to. But suppose you have a disc herniation. Why should you wait? We'll get into that another day. Point is, if you get the CT scan or the MRI, it may show a herniation. Or worse than that, that the annulus has torn completely. The annulus has torn completely and the gooey stuff is bulging all the way through and separating. It's separated from the disc itself. It's floating out there in outer space. They call that a sequestration. Big word for the gooey part has separated from itself because the annulus, the fish twine, is completely torn. And it's out there in the spinal canal. That's a space outside the disc, around the spinal cord, between the disc and the spinal cord, the spinal canal. And that piece of floating, it's like a meteor. It's a meteor floating in the space, the dark space of your spinal canal. And so this separated piece of your nucleus pulposus, or the bulge, is causing this pain down the leg. They've got to give you a CT scan. They've got to give you an MRI. If they give you an X-ray, if a chiropractor gives you an X-ray and tells you something about your disc, this is not diagnostic. X-rays do not tell you about soft tissue. An X-ray will tell you about bone. Maybe an X-ray in conjunction with good clinical skill, good diagnostic skill on the part of the chiropractor, maybe the combination of those two things will allow you a sense of if you have a disc herniation. Maybe. But technically speaking, A disc herniation you cannot see on an x-ray. So don't buy that one, because a lot of people do, and it's nonsense. The x-ray is the infinitely cheaper diagnostic test. X-ray machines you can buy. They're not that expensive. But you may be seeing somebody, and if you need an MRI and they don't have a CT scan or an MRI machine, they're not going to send you there. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it. And if you're at Kaiser or some of these other managed healthcare places, they're not going to want to spend the money, even though the cost of those CT scans and MRIs is so cheap. I mean, when they charge $1,500, $1,600 an MRI, when you compare that against the cost of the machine, okay, this is such a profitable thing for them to do. Why it's so difficult to get one sometimes is truly beyond me. But here's the point. If you got the MRI and you were told you have a herniation or a bulge and you do physical therapy, and after a month, 2 months, it's not going away. And if that's you, really listen. You have to get this book. It's called Failed Low Back Syndrome. Excuse me, Failed Back Syndrome. Should have put it on the website. I didn't. Failed Back Syndrome by Harold Wilkinson. If you're up for surgery, if you know anybody up for surgery, if you know anybody that's had a surgery and it didn't work, and they're going to do a second surgery, the Lord forbid it, get this book. Harold Wilkinson, I don't know if he's still alive. He was in Boston. I spoke to him in 1997 for about 40 minutes on the phone. He's a neurosurgeon out of Boston, a scholar, a lovely man. He went around, and maybe he still does, he went around the United States for years teaching neurosurgeons how to do disc surgeries. He would teach them how not to make the mistakes. He would not teach orthopedic surgeons. How's that one? He told me that. You could see him back in 97 for 2 hours for $250, and he would sit there and explain to you how to get yourself out of it surgically, how to get the best surgery. Because when you have a failed low back surgery, you have just bought a life of pain. It's a terrible thing. It is about the only thing when I practiced and did. I've spent so much time in physical rehab over the years, helping people get out of these things. But it was about the only thing that could make me cry. That would make me just tell the person, I can't do this. When you've had a failed second or third low back surgery, that always leads to a fusion. And Wilkinson gave a great perspective on this. He said, and I say this to you today, if you have failed physical therapies, I don't care what it is, massage, physical therapy, acupuncture, chiropractic, and you can go to a really good low back surgeon, and there must be orthopedic surgeons, but I'll tell you, neurosurgeons are very snotty, and some of their snottiness is well-founded. And Wilkinson was like this. You know, when you do surgery, they watch your hands. And if you don't have the gift with the hands, if you're a clunker, they tell you, do orthopedic surgery. Now, that's the truth. Eye surgeons think of the delicate hands. Neurosurgeons that do the brain. Hand surgeons and neurosurgeons of the low back. And Wilkinson only taught them. And his statement, and this is why I bring it up, over 90% of all low back surgeries fail after the first surgery. That means if you've had a low back surgery and it didn't work, your second surgery, which they're going to tell you to do, over 90% of those second surgeries fail. Get the book, Harold Wilkinson, Failed Back Syndrome. Famous neurosurgeon. I didn't tell you. He did. He ought to know. He devoted his whole life to teaching. So this thing about the surgery for the low back, I have seen people do surgeries for their low back, for disc herniations, bad disc herniations, things where you were told, look, you can't hold your urine. You can't hold your feces. Your legs, both legs are weak. This could be a life-threatening situation. And if you don't take care of it, and you're an ER, on morphine. And they're telling you, if you don't take care of this, it could be permanent damage. Okay, under the gun, when these things blow, you can get really scared. I can tell you this. Sometimes there's a reason to do it. I would never, ever, ever jump into it emergency surgery. Never. I will say that categorically. Never rush to ER and do surgery unless somebody takes you by the throat and says, this is life-threatening. You really have to take a look there. And you know the truth? Most people in ER would never do a surgery. Okay, so this is hypothetical. It's been done. So take it with a grain of salt. Respect everybody. Use your common sense. But if you've had three or four physical therapy routines, you've been around, it's a year, it's 2 years, you have bad pain, and you get a surgery, those surgeries can have a very high success rate. You got to get that one. The first surgery can be very successful. But if it fails, you can get put easily and justifiably into that category of people that fail back surgeries. They don't work. There's been tons of literature on this. And really, the delineating line, I think Wilkinson expressed eloquently. He said, if you fail the first one, don't do the second one. You have a very high fail rate. A story I got to tell you. Early in my training, a man named Joe walked into my place. This is years ago in the upper 90s. And, of course, his name wasn't Joe. We never use anyone's name. But he sat down. Joe was a famous, famous executive in Hollywood. And Joe sat down, and this is the truth. He pulled a gun. He was about 70 years old, very handsome-looking guy. He pulled a gun. He put the gun to his head. This is true. And he said, if this doesn't work, he said to me, I'm going to blow my brains out because I'm done. I can't live anymore. And that's where we started. He was such a lovable guy. He took on everybody's pain. You know the type? And in that he took on everybody's pain, he held it all in his low back. But I will never forget him because he looked at me. He had done 5 low back surgeries. 5. He had a fusion. After the second surgery, they start tearing out so much, there's nothing left to your back. I'll get to that in a moment. So the first thing they do with the surgery is clip the disc. Now they're trying to put in new discs. Maybe that's going to work. I'd wait a few years to see. But then those discs are titanium, and that could create its own problem. In any event, first they'll just try to suck a little bit of the goo out. If they suck out the goo, right? That's a little discectomy. Then what? They relieve the nerve root, and if they do that skillfully without messing everything up, thus you need a neurosurgeon. If they do everything skillfully, well, guess what? You decompress the nerve root or the spinal cord or the skin around the spinal cord called dural tissue. Check my other shows on head and neck trauma, dural tissue. If you're looking at the sheet there, you're going to see the dural tissue. Actually, you're not. I take that back. You won't see the dural tissue. But the skin around the spinal cord, or the spinal cord, or the nerve root, those are those red licorice things on the picture, the nerve roots, that thing that hurts down the leg, you're going to decompress that with a discectomy. Of course, after you suck out some of that goo, what about the two bones? The disc creates the space between L5 and S1 or L4 and L5. The disc creates the space between them. If you suck out the goo, the space decreases. So we're trading off one problem, decompressing the nerve root with a discectomy, with compressing the nerve root because now there's less disc. But cost-benefit, a discectomy can work. After that, stop. Truly. From Wilkinson to me to you, stop. Second point, if that doesn't work and you keep going, then they start taking off pieces of your vertebra. They take off the bones. They take off the spinous process, the lamina. They cut the back part of the vertebra right off you. They open up the spinal canal. It's called a laminectomy. But when they do that, there's no stability, so they have to give you a fusion. So a discectomy, thumbs up. If you've been in pain for 2-3 years, a discectomy, to me, guys, go for it. Get a good neurosurgeon. Pay extra money. Do whatever you have to do. But you can have a very good resolution for that. As always, guys, the theme in this show is correct, intelligent choices. It is not the MDs are bad and drugs are bad and pharmaceuticals are a waste and it's a terrible thing and everybody's evil. This is nonsense. Do not listen to that. There is incompetence. But for every incompetent medical doctor, there's an incompetent nutritionist. There's an incompetent chiropractor. People are incompetent. It's sorry, it's sad, but it's true. So understand, sometimes you need that surgery. Go to a good neurosurgeon. Get the vibration. Get someone to tell you, look, this is no problem. That nerve root, this neurosurgeon will say, is being pressed by that disc. And I know how to go in there and fix that. You can risk that one if you failed physical therapy. But number two, then they start cutting out bone. Then they can fuse the spine. And they fuse it with titanium. Once you have the spine fused with titanium, this is a problem. Don't get fusions. Fusions are killers. I'm going to say that. Fusions kill people. A fusion is a tremendous burden. Somebody knows the answer to this. A fusion, an L5-S1 fusion, is a tremendous burden to the body. Why? What does the sacrum no longer do if it's fused as a bigger segment? What does the sacrum no longer do? You got it. Boogie. You can't boogie anymore. L5-S1 has to boogie. Those bones are supposed to separate. You can't do the cha-cha. You can't do the tango. You look like an old man or an old woman strutting across a floor. That's what happens with a fusion. You lose the sacral pump. The sacral pump. You come to me with a prostate problem, an issue with your prostate, and I see an L5-S1 fusion. That fusion is stopping the prostate from pumping. You have an L5-S1 fusion and an ovarian issue. A uterine issue, an issue in your bladder, an issue in your kidney. A low back fusion takes out the lower heater. It takes out the bottom part of your body. It's not just, hey, we're just going to tie these two things together. You'll be okay. You'll be out of pain. We put a radioactive element. Well, it's not radioactive titanium, but we put something that can draw bad EMF into the low back. That's not the worst part of it. I think in the future, this titanium disc, if we replace L5-S1 fusion with a titanium disc where you have mobility, cheers to allopathic medicine. I wish it wasn't titanium. I really wish. But right now, they can't find anything better. But if we replace that fusion with L5-S1 a disc in there that can allow motion, we're going to score big. Once we kill the motion in the sacrum, the brain shuts down. Craniosacral. Once the sacrum's dead because it can't move, the brain goes. Your memory goes. I could go on, but I don't want to on that topic. That is such a fascinating topic. All right, now, here's the gift. John Doe wakes up with pain down his leg, and he goes to the doctor. And if he goes to that doctor, and they give him a scan, and they tell him he's got a 6-millimeter disc bulge compressing the left root between L5 and S1, and John walks out and says, how does this happen? How did it happen? What caused this? I will give you the first two people that are streaming the show that send into the comments section the four reasons. And if you're in my classes, which we have to talk about, if you're in my school, it doesn't include you because you've heard this now for a year. But if you've just listened to the show, I'm going to give you a free subscription to the archives. If you can tell me what four variables, the four causes of these disc herniations, the key is four. And the first two people that comment on this, until I reveal the answer in a few minutes, will get the free subscriptions. I got to know if this is making sense to you guys. I know it is to my class. And by the way, January 13th, which is next week, we are having class. And January 20th, those are the next two successive Sundays, we will be having the class. The Medici Institute for Advanced Nutritional Education. I think it's a great, great, great deal. We will be having class. You will be contacted very, very shortly as to all the wonderful specifics. And to my first class, God bless you. It's been over a year. It's an honor. And I think we've really learned. I really do. It makes me feel so good not to have to sit across a desk and just peddle herbs. I don't want to do that. I think herbs are wonderful. I use them, and I think they are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tools. And don't anybody ever say to me that I didn't say that. But the bottom line is, if you don't learn how to integrate it, people don't get the dollar value for their money. And none of us have money to waste. And this is where I'm calling people to start to integrate. But intelligently, in intelligent integration, you just can't slap together a bunch of modalities. You know, we'll slap together chiropractic, and we'll slap together Pilates, and we'll slap together massage therapy and all these things, and we'll call that integration. If you've listened to the last 85 shows, and if you haven't, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you've listened to the last 85 shows, you understand what I mean by integration. Integration is where you potentiate many, 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 many times the healing effect. It's just like baking the best birthday cake. You got to integrate the ingredients. You got to follow the directions, get the best ingredients. You got to know how to mix them. Then you got to understand the little specifics and details of cooking something, baking something. That art and that science is what we call integration. And when you get a disc herniation and you're out there having a chiropractor just crack your back, well, look, when you're sick, anything helps. So we're not going to knock it. But to cure it, to get rid of it with only a crack or a needle or an herb, doesn't work that way. Each person, when you get low back pain, has a specific code, a sacred code into their body's parasympathetic nervous system. That's big. When you get pain in your low back, a disc herniation, and you're struggling to heal, each person is going to have a specific code into the parasympathetic nervous system. Now, I know that's rhetoric for a lot of people, not for the members of my class. We still have some openings for the January 20th class. We can't do the first one. You can sign up for the school on the website. Get to the website and do that. But what we're trying to do in a healing is get to your parasympathetic nervous system. Once that magnetic field that we call the parasympathetic flow gets smart, gets intelligent, your body organizes a healing. There was a great, great, great book by a guy named Cyriax. C-Y-R-I-A-X. He was an orthopedic surgeon in England, Cyriax. He was a holistic orthopedic surgeon. Guy's been dead many years, I believe. And he showed some bodies, now check this out. This to me is the topper. Some bodies, if they have a disc bulge, like a 6-meter disc bulge, compressing into the spinal cord, causing unbearable pain over a year, the disc bulge will reposition itself by eating itself a space in the vertebra, in the bone. the disc bulge being forced into the spinal canal to the nerve root or the spinal cord, causing unbelievable pain. Cerebrax found in dissection that the bulge would eat its way through bone to hide itself from the spinal cord. If that is not God in action, I don't know where it is. That is absolutely fascinating if you follow that. The disc bulge compresses the spinal cord or the nerve root. Cerebrax, an orthopedic surgeon, proved on dissection that with some people, they could mobilize such an intelligent healing, solutions beyond solutions, that the disc bulge would eat a place in the bone, in the vertebra, to decompress the spine. The body does its own form of surgery. That is absolutely blockbuster, knockout, impressive to me. All right, time up. Four reasons. I hope somebody wins the two subscriptions. If you've got one, you have to be asking yourself, in answer to, how did I get a disc herniation? What in my blood chemistry, my psyche, my flexibility issues, and my physical scars? What combination of nutritional issues, blood chemistry, of psychic issues, of physical scars from physical traumas and from short, tight muscles? What combination of those four variables do I need to address specific to me to get rid of that pain? How do I take those four variables and turn on the parasympathetic nervous system? How do I take those four variables and turn on the parasympathetic nervous system? If you've got that from this show, tell your friends. Because that's it in a nutshell. That is the most concise, simplistic, straight to the point, straight to the core, straight to the talk for healing in the whole land. And that's the reality of it. Because if you've got a psyche in sympathetic dominance, if you have a psyche, now let's take this guy. Oh, I didn't tell you the end of the Joe story, did I? I couldn't help the guy. I just fell in love. He was such a nice guy. He hadn't worked in 10 years. He was thinking of his sixth surgery, and I just couldn't make a dent. He was gone. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That kind of pain. The first day Joe got that diagnosis, Joe should have walked out and said, what is it? Or his doctor should have said, Joe, there's something in your blood chemistry or your psyche or your biomechanics, meaning your flexibility, or some scar trauma. And the combination of them is resisting physical therapy and resisting the first surgery. That is what he should have been told. But they don't even have an understanding of this. And if they do, they don't have a functional model. You can understand something, sure. You can assemble a bunch of healthcare practitioners and you can say that. And they'll say, of course. Nutrition and stretching and body work, and it all contributes. Of course it does. But to work with it functionally, specific to the person, that is a different story. That's what they should have told Joe. And that's what I would say to tell you. Now, in Joe's case, of those four, you bet it was psyche. Joe was holding emotional memory. John Sarno, mind over back pain. John Sarno, MD, physiatrist, New York, I think University of Rochester, wrote the book, Mind Over Back Pain. This was revelation to him as a medical doctor. To us, it's been around for thousands of years. That the body can hold pain memory, especially related to that segment of the body, the lower segment. If there's been sexual trauma, if there's sexual frigidity, if there's all sorts of issues around shame and guilt and this and that, the other thing, the mind holds the muscles tight. The mind keeps the body in sympathetic dominance, which means the nerves are in a highly painful, constricted state. So you can do structural therapy. You can do surgery. You can do nutrition. You can do anything you want, and if the mind is holding cell memory, negative emotion locked into that part of the body, it will constrict the nerve, and the nerve will resist any type of therapy. That was Joe. That was Joe. It was all over Joe's face. And I've seen that. I've seen people with absolutely nothing, I mean, barely a problem in their low back. Now, for those of you listening today, I want to extend this to all your problems. If that psyche is holding enough memory in the throat, in the heart, in the lung, in the solar plexus, in the mid-body, in the low body, if it's holding enough psyche, you're not going to do well in nutrition. You're not going to do well in physical therapy. You're not even going to do well in surgery. What do you think all those surgical nightmares are? Wilkinson didn't understand that. He understood it intuitively. He said statistically, once, if it doesn't work, it's not going to work. That was his observation off 50 years of neurosurgery. But what he might have said, what I am saying is, once you're in sympathetic dominance, that knife does not work. Never do we see this play itself out more clearly with low back surgeries, with disc herniations. But you can extend this into whatever problem you have. So there's one, the psyche. Two, the blood chemistry. What is blood chemistry? Why should, in the righteousness of it, somebody tell you to do nutritional supplementation or nutrition or get nutritional guidance for a chronic low back problem? Where does the rubber meet the road on that? Very simple. When you are nutritionally deficient, the nerve cannot regenerate. Ta-da! It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. When the blood chemistry is toxic, the blood gets thick. And when the blood is thick, the deep spinal muscles, the areas, around the low back, the deep spinal muscles around the low back, when the blood is too thick, those muscles near the disc, near the nerve root, near the dural tissue, near the spinal cord, near the cauda equina of the spinal cord, the fishtail between L2 and L5, all those pain-sensitive structures that create pain for you, that we anesthetize so you don't feel pain, that we give you cortisone so you don't feel pain, that we decompress so you don't feel pain. When those tissues are surrounded by toxic, black, dark blood, the deep spinal muscles, multifidus, the rotatoris longus, the rotatoris brevis, all these deep spinal muscles grabbing your spinal cord, so to speak, when they're toxic with thick blood, the blood holds pain-producing chemicals. The blood holds the prostaglandins. The blood holds the bradykinins. All the noxious chemicals that your nerve picks up and sends pain impulses to the brain. When the blood is too thick in those muscles, the blood coagulates. It's called the black blood. That's what nutrition's about. That's what detox is about. Detox is thinning the blood. So think about that. That guy that's told he needs a surgery, if he's filled with toxic blood, it's why he's resisting. Or is it his mind that's keeping him in sympathetic constrictive stress? Or does he need to stretch? Now, catch my shows on the SOAS in those two shows I mentioned, 32 and 13. Because when the psoas, which is a synergistic muscle with the quadricep, when you're not flexible, when you are not flexible in the thighs, and really we're going to do such a number on this topic in the videos that I will be getting out. It is my New Year's resolution. Medici's New Year's resolution is to make videos available for many, if not all. If those thigh muscles do not get stretched, the psoas does not get stretched. And if the psoas doesn't get stretched, That's the big deep muscle. One of my last shows shows great pictures of it. If the psoas does not get stretched, it crushes the discs in the low back. If the psoas does not get stretched, it crushes the discs in the low back. So it may be flexibility. It may be that the guy's disc herniation is the product of the fact that he was a power lifter and an athlete, and he just tore that disc because of faulty biomechanics, and nobody ever told him to stretch, or stretch correctly, or stretch to move his center. This show is great. I love this. Blood chemistry, psyche, flexibility issues. Last but not least, physical scars from physical traumas. If that woman with a bad disc has had a hysterectomy, if she's had a cesarean, if that guy has broken his what? His pelvis in a martial arts accident. If there's some physical tear in the tissue, not just the disc, but some physical tear in the tissue, then that tear is going to pull all the internal fascia. Internal fascia. Do you have a visualization of that? I know you guys in my class do. The internal fascia will get twisted and pulled, and that will affect all the nerve supply, blood supply, venous supply, lymphatic supply to the area where the disc herniation is that's trying to drain. Look at that. Four variables: blood chemistry, psyche, physical scars, and flexibility issues. That gets turned into your sacred code. And that's what my school is about, teaching you to assess that within yourself and what to do about it. That's not expensive, but it does require some depth. So if this is making sense to you, it's hitting your parasympathetic nervous system. And that's what it's all about, my friends. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Remember to sign up for those classes on the website. Look into the subscriptions. I think they're a great, great, great educational tool. God bless you. Happy 2013.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part, Dr. Medici is dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember to contact his office for an appointment and join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.